Bible today, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs, of course, is so full of great wisdom, as is all the scripture. But there's a passage that's been on my heart here for some time, and I'd just like to bring it out today. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now I want to read it again. I'm in Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And that's what I want to talk about today. A companion of fools. A companion of fools. And of course, I'm going to come to the question, do you think you might be one? A companion of fools, that is. Now, the word walketh here. Let's look at this verse. Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh." What does it mean to walk? Well, the Hebrew word here means to walk along with. It means to accompany. It means to keep company with. That's what the idea is. You walk with wise men. You keep company with them. You are in step with them. You walk alongside of them. That it implies a fellowship and a friendship and a kinship, not necessarily a relationship as though you're blood related, but a fellowship type of a kinship. That's what it's all about. You know, it doesn't mean he that takes a stroll with a wise man will be wise, because their wisdom doesn't just jump off of them onto you because you took a 10-minute stroll with them. But if you associate, affiliate, keep company with a wise man, here's what the Bible very clearly says. He that walketh, accompanies, keeps company with, he that fellowships with, walks along with wise men, you walk with wise men, and you shall be wise. How about that? Because the wisdom of the wise rubs off. You walk with wise men, you'll be wise. But the vice versa is also true. He says, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, some versions translate destroyed a little different. Some say the companion of fools will suffer for it. Some translate it, the companion of fools will smart for it. Not smart in the sense be smart, but smart in the sense of being hurt. You'll be hurt because of it. You'll suffer because of it. Now, why do you think that is, that if you're a companion of fools, you'll suffer for it? It's because fools do foolish things. It's because fools say foolish things. It's because fools believe foolish things. And you're foolish if you follow them. Well, this is what the Bible says. This isn't Brother Rusty's opinion. I like the way one version translates it. Listen to this. "He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. A friend of fools shall become like them." The Message version says, "Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces." How about that? Now, you know it makes sense, right? Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. You know, that's just the way it is. It's very clear. The Bible makes it very clear. A companion of fools, a companion of fools is not going to be blessed. is not going to get ahead, is not going to thrive, is not going to prosper in any biblical sense of the word, is not going to fare well. The life of one who makes fools their companion, it's not going to turn out well. Hello. Just the opposite. They'll suffer for it. They'll, as one version says, they'll be broken. They'll fall to pieces. They'll suffer harm. Or as the King James says, a companion of fools will be destroyed. Will be destroyed. Now we have in our own culture, every culture has their own little sayings and their own little idioms. Things like, you know, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. And that's true. We know that's true. If you got fleas all over you, well, you've been sleeping with the dog. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised. But it's also true in the sense that if you hang out with the wrong kind of people and you wind up in trouble, you hang out with troublemakers, you wind up in trouble. You lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. That's the whole idea. It's the similar idiom here. The Bible makes it very clear. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Listen to this. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, that's good old King James language. But what it means is, bad company will corrupt you. That's what it means. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companionships, Williams translates it this way, evil companionships corrupt good character. Hello. Amen. You hang around with the wrong people, you get their influence. They influence you. The people you run with influence you. Evil friends lead to evil ends. That's a fact. The Bible says a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. Have you bought produce lately? Diane and I were at the grocery store. We had to go stock up on some stuff when we came back. So we had to go to the grocery store. And I looked through the produce bags before I buy a bag of oranges or bag of apples or a bag of lemons. Hey, you better look through those bags as close as you can because they have rotten fruit in there. Now, I don't know about you, but I try not to buy a bag of fruit with rotten apples in it or rotten oranges in it. I don't want to take that home. In fact, I don't even want the oranges that are in the bag with the bad oranges. Because they all smell bad. And what smells worse than rotten potatoes? Rotten watermelon. I mean, you don't even want the rest of the potatoes that are in the bag with all those rotten potatoes. Well, there's a message there, too. You hang around with rotten people, you stink. I mean, their smell rubs off on you. Their influence rubs off on you. Somebody say amen. You know it. You know it's true. Here's what another version says. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. Here's the bottom line. The people that surround us affect us. The people that surround us affect us. Those that we hang with influence us. Those that we associate with. Now, in some cases, you can't help it. That's your family. In some cases, you can't help it because you work around unsaved people. Not everybody has the great joy and privilege of being able to work around saved people. But we do choose who we associate with, hang with, run with outside the workplace. And those you associate with influence you. They influence you. They influence you. Listen, they influence you by their words. They influence you by their very conversation. They influence you by their attitudes. They influence you by their opinions. They influence you by their vices. They influence you by their values. They influence you by their outlook on life. They influence you by their philosophy of what's right and wrong. The people you associate with influence you, affect you far more than most of us are willing to realize. This is common knowledge. Every parent knows it. Now, what kind of parent would you be if you didn't watch who your children associate with? Now, you know, if you've got children, you don't like them hanging out with that sassy little brat that their mama never corrects him. He's sassy, he's disrespectful, he even curses his mother. And if you let your child associate them with them, guess what your child will be doing? Come on, you know this is true. Every parent knows it because every parent has at some point said, I don't like you hanging around with that child. I don't want you associating with that child. He's a disrespectful child. He's sassy. He's disobedient. And actually picks up profanity. And you know where he gets that from. But you don't want your child associating with another child because they influence your child. Parents know it. School teachers know it. Counselors know it. Social workers know it. Those you hang with influence you. How many times have school teachers, school counselors, social workers lamented and said, you know, if I could just separate that kid from his crowd, from the crowd he runs with, if I could separate that child from his crowd, he could do good. He would get good grades. He's a good kid. He's not ignorant. He could learn. He could pass these tests. But if he keeps hanging out with these thugs, or if she keeps hanging out with these dope smokers, the kids you hang with influence you and make you like them. You know it's true. It's absolutely true. We become like those we run with, we associate with. They influence us. Their stupidity rubs off. A companion of fools, the Bible says, will be destroyed. They'll be hurt for it. You'll be broken for it. You'll be crushed because of it. I don't understand how it is that many Christians think that while they believe in Christ and they're going to try to serve the Lord, they can continue to hang out with an unregenerate, rebellious crowd and not be influenced or affected by it. Amen. We're all affected by those we associate with. You hang out with dope smokers, and their opinions are going to rub off on you. You see your kids starting to hang around with the goth group over there at school, all dressed like vampires and so forth. Don't be surprised when your child shows up wearing all black. Or if, you know how this goes. The crowd they run with influences them. Police know it. If we could get that kid out, away from that gang, out of that neighborhood, away from that influence, this child could do okay. This child could do all right. But as long as he's with these thugs, he's gonna wind up just like them. He's got a future in jail or in a grave, early grave. The Bible says this very, very clearly, says it for all of our admonition, Proverbs 13:20. If you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, just like you want to be a good parent and guide your children in the right way, you want to influence them in the right way because you love them. You don't tell them, look, I don't want you hanging out with that child because you're a mean parent. That's not why you tell them that. You tell them that because you know that child will influence them wrong. It will have a bad influence on them and a negative impact on their whole life and future. You know that's true. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You know, the old adage is, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Because birds of a feather flock together. You know, hummingbirds don't hang with hoot owls. They hang out with their own kind. And if you're hanging out with a bad crowd, what does that say about you? You hang out with ungodly people, wicked people, immoral people, indecent people, vile, violent people, then what does that say about you? You see, birds of a feather. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And in many cases, it ain't rosy. It's not rosy at all. But just like you are concerned about your children, we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is very concerned about His children. And because He loves us, and because He's concerned about us, and because He knows that the people we affiliate with and we associate with influence us, therefore He warns us away from all associations or relationships or friendships or companionships that could harm us, or in many cases, even destroy us. That's why He warns us about such things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a familiar passage. Let me read this. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it. 2 Corinthians 6, He says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols?" This is what the Lord says. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There is no communion between God and the devil. They don't have anything in common. And you and God's children, God's child and the devil's child, doesn't have anything in common. I mean, even if you're related by blood, really, spiritually, you're so adverse to each other that there is no commonality other than we're related by blood. But one is saved, one is lost. And you know when you get together with them, you're both marching to a different drummer. Because they're going one way, you're going another. They believe one thing, you believe another. They have one set of values, you have another. They have one philosophy or outlook at life, you have another. What concord has Christ with the devil? What communion? What concord? Interesting word. It means what symphony? In other words, God and the devil, they play different tunes. This is what the Lord says. "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." But what if we say, "I don't want to come out from among them, because these are my pals. We've been through a lot together. They mean a lot to me. I'm going to continue to hang out with them." What if we don't come out from among them? Then here's what he says. "If you come out from among them, if you'll separate yourself unto me, then I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be my sons and daughters." So doesn't that suggest if we don't come out from among them, then their father is still our father? And John 8:44 tells us who their father is. The devil. Because in spite of what many people say, we're all God's children, according to the Bible, we're not all God's children. God's children are the redeemed, and the rest are the children of the devil. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. Even in the Old Testament, God told the Jews not to intermarry with the pagan nations that surrounded them. He said, don't take their wives for your sons. Don't take their daughters for your sons to marry. Don't take their sons for your daughters to marry. You don't intermingle with the unbelievers, with the pagans, because this is what God said. If you let them intermingle and intermarry, they will turn your children's hearts away from me. into the paganism, into the idolatry of the world. That was God's warning and admonition. It's all over the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. Very, very clear. Do not intermarry, intermingle with the unsaved. It's not even an option. Well, you say, he's good looking, though. Boy, he's a good looking heathen. But won't be so good looking in hell. The sad thing is that even in our Christian churches, there are many believers who will start looking outside of the flock of God for what they might think would be a desirable mate. You know, they don't like the pool maybe inside the church. They think, well, maybe the men in the church are a little bit weird, or maybe the women in the church, you know, the single ones I'm talking about, are a little bit weird. Like, I had a laugh at our tour guide in Alaska. It was a lady, and she said when she was invited to come work in Alaska, they told her that the men outnumber the women 10 to 1. Men outnumber the women in Alaska 10 to 1. So she said, the odds are good. But she said, but when I got here, I found out the goods are odd. Ah, oh, hallelujah. But what would make a Christian man or woman look outside of the Church of Christ for a desirable spouse or desirable mate? Isn't that like looking for a jewel in a cesspool? I mean, that's the most bizarre thing that I can imagine. Again, in Alaska, I noticed how much gold mining is still going on up there. All over the state, they still mine for gold. And I guess it must be successful because a lot of people do it. They mine in a lot of different ways. They dig holes in the ground. They scrape off the surface. They place a mine in the streams and so on. So I guess it must be profitable then. You know, if you want to find gold, I guess you got to go where the gold is. You go to Alaska. If you want to find gold, you sure don't go dig a hole in a swamp here in Louisiana. But the same thing is true otherwise. If you want to find pearls, you got to come down here and open some oysters. I know how to pronounce it. You open some. You don't go look in the desert of Arizona for pearls. That's not where they are. If you want to find a nice, beautiful emerald, ruby, sapphire, a diamond for your bride, you go to a nice jewelry store. You certainly don't go look for jewels in an outhouse, because that's just not where they are. That's not what you're going to find there. Malachi 3, listen to this. Malachi 3:17, God calls his children jewels. Did you know that? He calls his children jewels. He says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I make up my jewels. He's talking about his own children. And in the eyes of God, his people, his children, are very precious. That's the meaning that he attaches to it. Just like a jewel, ruby, emerald, sapphire, you know, these things are supposed to be very, very precious. Well, in the eyes of God, his children are very, very precious. Then if you want to find, ladies, if you want to find a really precious jewel, why would you go look in the outhouses of the world, the joints, the bars, the clubs, the casinos? That's nothing but an outhouse. You're not going to find jewels there. God's jewels are found in God's house. Why would you look there for a decent man or a decent woman? It mystifies me that they troll the outhouses of the world to try to find somebody to spend their life with, somebody valuable. No, you look in God's house for precious jewels, because that's where they are. They're going to be walking with the Lord, serving the Lord, living for the Lord. Hello? God calls them jewels, his people. I do know this. You troll the outhouses of the world. And again, I'm talking about the bars and joints and clubs where everybody seems to go look for love, you know, like in all the wrong places. Exactly, yeah. What do you think you're going to find there? Vain people. Empty people. Hollow, shallow people. Self-absorbed people. Spiritually blind people. I mean, if they had any spiritual sight, they wouldn't be there. They troll these places, these outhouses, to find companions, and then you become yourself a companion of fools. And where's that going to lead you? Walk with the wise, you'll be wise. The companion of fools will what? Will be destroyed. So you're worse off even when you find one. And look, just because they're handsome don't mean they're not a fool. Because fools come in all shapes and sizes, you know, according to the Bible. They got good-looking fools, handsome fools, beautiful fools, ugly fools, fat fools, skinny fools, educated fools, scholarly fools, well-employed fools, unemployed fools. Fools come in all shapes and sizes, male, female, young, old, black, white. But if they don't know the Lord, don't serve the Lord. Y'all awake this morning? Walk with wise men, you'll be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. And now, that brings me to the question that I said I was going to ask. Is it possible that you are a companion of fools? Now, while you're thinking about it, I want to remind you of a few things. Because I think not all of us even realize what the Bible says a fool is. You might think, I don't hang out with no fools. And if they come in all shapes and sizes, then how do you identify one? How do you know a fool when you find one? Well, I'm going to give you some real simple ways to know. So this way you'll be able to detect whether you've been hanging with fools or not. All you have to do is listen to them talk. And it doesn't take long. All you have to do is listen to a little bit of their conversation. And while all of us can be silly at times, and all of us can talk about sports or cars or boats or fishing or whatever, you know, gardening, whatever might be innocuous, harmless, we can talk about all those things. Yet, in the speech of a wise person, it never degenerates into vulgarity or profanity. It never becomes sensual. It never falls into the realm of evil speaking. Hello. Just listen to them talk. You'll be able to tell pretty quick what's important to a person. Just listen to them talk. Pretty soon you'll find out what's important. And all the idle and godless and hollow and vain speech eventually just comes out, all the chatter. I overhear this stuff all the time. We go sit down in a restaurant, you hear the people talking next to you, you hear what they're talking about. They're talking about drinking, they're talking about partying, they're talking about the casino, they're talking about all these things, and you just realize they're so empty. Their lives are so empty, they don't even know it. They don't even know how empty they are. How. And then you see how full of self that they are, how self-absorbed these people are. The pride, the egos, the humongous egos. The absolute vanity of their conversation, the things that are so important to a clueless world, the things that women talk about that they think is going to enhance their beauty. They always talk about getting something sucked out, lifted up, Botoxed, enlarged, whatever. And you can't help but just wince at their whole concept of beauty. And you know why they do it? Because the men have that concept. They've been brainwashed into thinking that's what makes a woman beautiful. That, so you've got the vanity on every side, that people so absorbed, self-absorbed, so enamored with the outside, that what's on the inside, they don't even notice. And then they can just talk and talk and talk and talk and don't say anything. It always amazed me how people can do that. But then listen to this, Ecclesiastes 5:3. A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. It's amazing how people can talk and 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 talk. What'd they say? They didn't say anything. Or how about this, Ecclesiastes 10:14. A fool also is full of words. We could say full of hot air. Well, they're just full of themselves, and really nothing worthwhile to say. Nothing worthwhile to say. Oh, look, I said that all you have to do is listen to them talk, and you can recognize if they're a fool or not. Now, according to the Bible, remember, this is according to the Bible. How about Proverbs 14:9? Here's a real good God. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. So, one version translates it, fools laugh at sin. Now that brings up a question, what do we laugh at? What do we find funny? And Lord help us. Because perhaps there's a lot of things that we find ourselves laughing at, we ought to be grieving over. But fools make a mock at sin. In fact, not only do they mock at sin, but they mock those who consider sin, sin. Y'all follow me? They make fun of those who consider what sin is, you know, that is sin. You want to find yourself mocked and ridiculed? All you have to do is say homosexuality is sin. All you have to say is, you know, fornication is sin. That's all you have to do. And fools make a mock at sin. They don't grieve over sin. They're not hurt by it, broken by it, crushed by it, convicted by it. They laugh at it. In fact, one version actually translates that particular verse, Proverbs 14:9, that fools mock the sin offering. They mock the sin offering. Now, we know who the sin offering is. The sin offering is the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's a greater fool than the one who would mock, make fun of, ridicule Christ or what is sacred, what is holy, what is pure, what is just, what is right? They wind up calling evil good and good evil. You know what the Bible says about those. So, what are you laughing at? Now, let me ask you another question, because our question is it possible that you could be a companion of fools? What do your friends laugh at? What do they find funny? Because you see, these are your companions. These are your buds, your compadres, your hombres. These are the people you run with. These are the people that influence you. What are they laughing at? Now, if you say, well, I don't laugh at the stuff that they laugh at, but they're your friends. And the companion of fools will be destroyed, will be hurt by them. They influence you far more than you realize. Here's another thing. Fools say, Psalms 53 and verse 1, Psalms 14 and verse 1, fools say, there is no God. Fools say there is no God. Fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So there's a lot of fools in the world. Even though a recent Gallup poll, in fact, I read this poll while we were away over the last 2 weeks, this poll is very recent, said that over 90% of Americans believe in God. Over 90% of Americans believe in God. Of course, the next question is, what God? Which God do they believe in? I'd really like to know. That's a question I always wanted to ask. I believe in God. Well, who is he? Who is he? Who is the God you believe in? Is it Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe? Is that the God you believe in? Or do you believe in the God of the Bible, the God of the Quran, the God of the Vedas? I'd like to know. Or if you're like some, they believe in the Lady Gaga God, just you roll your own God, like the people who roll their own funny cigarettes. There are people who roll their own God. They make a God that they could be comfortable with, a God that they would like. So each person makes up their own God in their own mind. You know, 90% of Americans might say they believe in God, but they talk like they don't believe in God, and they live like they don't believe in God, or at least in a God that they're one day going to have to stand before and give an account to, that there is no God who will judge or punish sin. One lady, I guess she put it just as plainly and succinctly as you can. She said, well, I don't believe in a judgmental God. I don't believe in a judgmental God. I don't believe in an intolerant God. I believe God is love, she said. I believe God accepts everybody. I believe God forgives and accepts everybody and doesn't punish people. Like my God, who must be an ogre. So they just make up their own God. They just roll their own, one that they like, the Lady Gaga God. And they spew this stuff out without even realizing just how stupid it is. Because when you go down that road a little bit and explore it for just a second, you realize that that's really a stupid thing to say. I don't believe in a judgmental God. I don't believe in a God who punishes. I don't believe in an intolerant God. I believe God is love. God accepts everybody. Now, have you heard that before? Well, let's go down that road then. Let's just go there and see if they really believe what they say. Does God love Hitler? Does God accept Hitler? Wait, you said God loves everybody. He accepts everybody. He's a loving... Does he accept Hitler? He killed 6 million Jews. Is that okay? Is he going to judge Hitler? A mass murderer? Now look, he killed 6 million, we know, but he's responsible for the deaths of anywhere between 30 and 50 million people. Is God going to judge Hitler? Well, wait, if he's going to judge Hitler, then what about Stalin? Because he killed at least that many. Or what about some of the other monsters, mass murderers, Mao Zedong and so on? Are they going to be judged? What about Pol Pot? What about Idi Amin? What about some of the modern day monsters? Are they going to be judged? Does God just judge mass murderers? Will he judge a regular murderer? Just an ordinary axe murderer? Okay, he judges murderers. All right, we agree that he's going to judge murder. All right, well, he'll judge murderers. Well, what about rapists? Is he going to judge rapists? What about child molesters? Is God going to judge child molesters? Or is he going to accept them too? I mean, what kind of heaven are you planning to go to? Where everybody is accepted and welcomed and nobody is judged and condemned for what they did. So, wait. If God's going to judge murderers, rapists, child molesters, what about armed robbers? What about burglars? Or run-of-the-mill thieves? Or what about every other wicked? So actually, while you say you don't believe in a God who judges, really and truly, you do. Really and truly, you do. Because if he judges anyone, then there has to be a standard. There has to be rules. Well, who makes the rules? Do you get to make the rules? Do you say, well, you know, I believe he will judge murderers, but he's not going to judge fornicators, at least. So, well, what if the other guy says, well, he judges fornicators, but not murderers? So does everybody get to decide who God is, what God judges, what the rules are? No. You see, this whole thing, you go down that road and you realize how stupid it is. Y'all with me so far? It's absolutely stupid. So actually, there is a God who judges. There is a God who has rules and standards. There is a God who will hold men and women accountable to his standards. And a God that you and I will one day answer to. There has to be, or else this, I mean, even in our own society, we have rules for the benefit of others. We can't let people make up their own rules just because they say, I want to drive on the sidewalk. I think I should be able to drive on the sidewalk, and I think I should be able to go 90 miles an hour on the sidewalk because I can make up my own rules. We have to have rules for a decent and regular society. Oh, God help us. My point is, you want to identify a fool? Just listen to what they say. So maybe again we ask ourselves the question, is it possible that you're a companion of fools? Well, wait, what kind of people do I hang around with? Who are the people that influence me? Who are the people that I run with, associate with, affiliate with? Because you see, all of their opinions comes out of their mouth and goes into your ears. And all of that stuff influences us. Why do you think Jesus said, take heed what you hear? Because what you hear influences you. Take heed what you hear. All right, here's a second way that we can identify a fool. And it's important that we do not just listen to what they say, you know, not just hear the way they talk, but also see the way they walk. See the way they walk. Ecclesiastes 2:14, the fool walks in darkness. That's what the Bible says. A fool walks in darkness. And of course, we're talking here about the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of spiritual blindness, the darkness of sin. A fool walks in darkness. They live sinful lives. That's what they do. They walk in darkness. They stumble along in the dark. Here's another good verse. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart. Now, what does that mean? That means a person who decides to walk in their own way, walk in their own wisdom, instead of listening to the wisdom of God and the counsel of God, the ones who trust in their own heart is a fool. But you walk wisely, that is, you walk in the counsel of God, then you'll be delivered. The motto of a fool. Let me give you the motto of a fool. I don't think there's anything wrong with, and then you fill in the blank. The motto of a fool. I don't think there's anything wrong with blank. Now you just fill it in. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And you can put just about anything in there. You know, drinking, smoking, pot, pills, gambling, porn, sex, homosexuality, bestiality, incest, any kind of perversion. You fill in the blank. I don't think there's anything wrong with blank. Fill it in, the motto of a fool. Because Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But you know, your father told you what is right and what is good and what is healthy. But Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction. Y'all still running with me?
Yes.
A fool despises his father's instruction. Why do you think the father gives instruction? You think it's because he hates you? You think it's because he's mean? No, it's because he loves you, and his intent is to preserve you. To preserve you from evil, to preserve you from harm, to preserve you from destruction, to preserve you from death. Now, before I wrap this up this morning, I want to bring this train to one more depot. You know, our text is Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So it's those that we associate with, those we identify with, those we hang with, run with, befriend, walk with, accompany. Those are the ones who influence us, either for good or for evil, right? But consider this. Henry Fielding said, we are as liable to be corrupted by books as by companions. So let's think about this for a second. Maybe we better expand the definition of the word companion, because when we say a companion of fools will be destroyed, you know, a lot of people make books their companions. And if we're going to make books a companion, there's a lot of people who make TV their companions. And we could add radio, music, internet, or whatever, because, you know, nowadays, a lot of people don't have individual one-on-one associations and relationships. A lot of people cocoon today. I mean, their influences are who's on TV, what they watch, their favorite movies, their favorite commentators, or whatever. We do know people are influenced by books. I mean, how many people have been badly influenced by all the neo-atheists who've written all these anti-God publications? People read that. People are affected by it, caused to stumble because of it, led astray by it. How many young people have been corrupted by the publications of Hugh Hefner, Larry Flint, and all the other porn distributors in America? How many lives have they ruined? How many men and women have they corrupted? And people who buy it, people who read it, people who are defiled by it. There are people today who can't have a clean, decent thought in their minds because of the influence of the Hugh Hefners and Larry Flints of the world, publishers of these pornographic empires and so on. But I want to read a study just real quickly. This just came out yesterday. I think you'll find it interesting. I found it an interesting study by Austria University of Linz, L-I-N-Z. They have something they now called media priming. Now, I'm just going to read some excerpts from this. New research suggests watching something dumb might make you dumber. In other words, you are what you watch. They call it media priming, the idea that things we watch or listen to or read influence our emotions and our behavior, perhaps more than we realize. And then it goes on, blah, blah, blah. So says the Marcus Apple psychologist at Austria's University of Linz. And while it's quite a lengthy article, I'm just going to read a few points from it. They had these tests. People were influenced by certain materials they read or things they watched. Participants who read a narrative about a stupidly acting soccer hooligan performed worse in knowledge tests than participants who read a narrative about a character with no reference to his intellectual abilities. Excuse me. If you think you're too smart to be influenced by the If you think you're too smart to be influenced by the media you consume, that's cute. Anything we see, a person on the street, an ad on TV, a character in a movie, has some influence on our next thoughts, emotions, or actions, simply because it's top of mind, and, you know, all the psychologists add off on all of these things, blah, blah, blah. You're all what you think. So they actually said people who watch Jersey Shore are dumber after they see it than they were before. Now, I've never seen it, so I don't even know what it is, but it must really be something. And woe unto all of the Three Stooges fans, because you, this doesn't bode well for some of us, I'm telling you. There must be exceptions in there, loopholes somewhere, yeah, for the Three Stooges fans, right? The point is, we are influenced. We definitely are. The Bible says we are, by our companionships. Now, what about music? Now, I've been thinking about this a whole lot the last few weeks, because all of our young people, every place you look, they got earphones in their ears. They're all, you know, they just saturate their minds with music, 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 music. Now, some of it may be relatively innocuous, and I'd like to think some of them are listening to some good worship music. But I tend to think that a great deal of it is probably this vile, vulgar stuff that is so commonplace in our society. Do you think we're influenced by those lyrics? You think about it. These are their lyrics, okay? Their lyrics, they wrote these things, and now you're spouting them like it's your philosophy now. So whatever it is that the subject matter is, whether it's degrading women or glorifying violence or sensuality, sexuality, drunkenness, whatever it is, whatever it is, I mean, anything from country to rap, they all sing about stuff they... Should that be your words? I mean, should that be coming out of your mouth? As a believer, as a Christian, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm just saying that maybe there's more ways than one that we can be a companion of fools. And that we should, as Christians, realize that if we're going to be wise, we must walk with the wise. And to walk with the wise, we turn back to the book of all wisdom. We turn back to the book of God. We let this word fill our hearts and minds and souls. We learn our wisdom, our philosophy of life, our values from this word. We model our life after the example of the Savior who perfectly, perfectly fulfilled every bit of the commands of this book. And we, when we fail, and we all do, we look to Him for the grace of forgiveness, because only in Him is that grace found. And He does forgive, and He is a loving God, and He is a gracious God. And this loving, gracious, forgiving God has told us there's one way to heaven and one way only. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. In Acts 4, we're told that there's one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. There is no salvation, forgiveness, deliverance, healing. There is nothing in any other name except in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't come through Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Ellen G. White, the Vedas. You can't come through Rama. You can't come through Vishnu, Kali, or any of the other deities of the heathen world. We come one way and one way only, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon Him. We cling to Him. Look, let's turn to the greatest wisdom that exists, and that's the wisdom of God, and He has given us His book. We can walk with wise men by walking in the counsel of this book. And if you want to read other material, you read a good book that points you to this book. You don't read the kind of things that undermine faith. Read things that build faith. Read things that will encourage you to read the book of books. Feed your faith. Whatever you feed will grow. And if you want to listen to music, listen to good music. Worship music. Music that will lift your spirit and lift your soul and point you to Christ and let you honor and glorify Him and thank Him and let our praises resound unto the one who is worthy. And then walk with the wise, those would be those men and women who are walking with the Lord. And you find them in the church of God, in the house of God, in fellowship with God. You walk with the godly, and you'll be wise. You'll be wise. Be influenced by those who walk with God. And you're not going to find them in the outhouses. You'll find them in the church house. You'll find them in a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church where they serve the Lord, glorify the Lord, honor the Lord, live for the Lord. And you'd be wise to walk among them. Well, amen. Father, we pray this morning that You would cause us to examine our own lives and the things that we allow to influence us. Lord, so that our opinions are not formed by the ungodly, so that our values are not influenced by the wicked, the lost, the unregenerate, the reprobate. Lord, so that our values are Your values, that Your values are our values. Lord, our prayer today for each and every one, of us and each and every one within the sound and influence of my voice today is that we would break whatever companionships that lead us astray, that we would sever whatever influences are taking us away from You, that You would give us wisdom and the will to walk in righteousness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Amen.